Today we'll read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, one of the most obscure cantos, very difficult to understand because of different explanations of the planetary, cosmology, very cosmology, can be complicated sometimes. And also there's a lot about renunciation of the world, and because of that, then we can hear a lot of negative things about materialistic life. And Bhagavatam deals with that in great detail, and is very strong on those points. So, fifth canto is tough. So we are in the second chapter, just starting. We'll read text 22nd text and 23rd text, because 23rd text doesn't have any purport. And 22nd text, as far as I understand, is in prose, so it would be kind of very difficult to repeat the verse. So I suggest I just read the verse and then we continue, because you can't. If it's poetry, then it flows nicely. You can repeat, everyone can repeat, but the prose is very difficult. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Agnidro Rajat Triptah Kamanam Apsarasam Ivanudinam Adhi Manyamanas Tasya Salokatam Shrutibhir Avarudhayatra Pitaro Madayante. So we are through one of the rare prose statement. Agnidharaham Agnidra Rajam, the king. Atriptaham, not satisfied. Kamanam, with sense gratification. Apasarasam, celestial woman, whose name is Purvachiti. Evam, certainly. Anudinam, day after day. Adhi, exceedingly. Manyamanaha, thinking of. Tasyaha, of her. Salokatam, promotion to the same planet. Shrutibihi, by the Vedas. Avarudham, got. Yatra, where. Pitaraham, the forefathers. Madayante, take pleasure. Translation and purport. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. After Purvachiti's departure, King Agnidra, his lusty desires not at all satisfied, always thought of her. Therefore, in accordance with the Vedic injunctions, the king, after his death, was promoted to the same planet as his celestial wife. That planet, which is called Pitriloka, is where the Pitas, the forefathers, live in great delight. If one always thinks of something, he certainly gets a related body after death. Maharaja Agnidra was always thinking of Pitriloka, the place where his wife had returned. Therefore, after his death, he achieved that same planet, probably to live with her again. Bhagavad Gita also says, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram tam tam evati kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. We can naturally conclude, this is Bhagavad Gita 8 chapter 6th verse, we can naturally conclude that if we always think of Krishna or become fully Krishna conscious, we can be promoted to the planet of Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna eternally lives. I'll read also 23rd verse. Samparete pitrari navabhar paratro meru duhritrir meru devim prati rupam ugradam strim latam ramyam shamam narim padram devat vitim iti samjna navodavahan. After the departure of their father, the nine brothers married the nine daughters of Meru, named Merudevi, Pratirupa, Ugradamshtri, Lata, Ramya, Shama, Nari, Padra, and Devaviti. The sense of Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Activities of Maharaj Apnidra. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Surupakam Bhaktavatara Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandha Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Okay, so we're concluding this chapter where the activities of Maharaj Agnidra are described. He married, he had sons. I don't know about the daughters. Nine sons, nine brothers. Married nine daughters of Meru. So the one important principle, concept, theme, which is very common in Bhagavatam and which is also very common in Bhagavad Gita, specifically Bhagavatam is one of the 10 main themes of Srimad Bhagavatam, is here leaving the body, or more specifically is this verse is discussing the related theme to leaving the body, is that where do we go after death and how does that happen? Is reincarnation and karma very general topics. So I thought we might look at it a little bit today. Here Agnidra Maharaj, his wife Purvachiti, who he loved very much, she was sent by Lord Brahma to give a wife to Agnidra, who is very qualified. He was meditating and so on. And now she returned back to her planet where she was coming from. And Agnidra, he was still attached to her. He didn't learn that he should become detached and he should focus on Krishna. Yes, so this is point here, because the verse says, in accordance with the Vedic injunctions, the king after his death was promoted to the same planet. So Vedic system is telling about that whatever consciousness you have at the moment of death, that kind of consciousness will bring you to another body. There's more. This is one statement that Prabhupada supports in his commentaries and also translations and so on, that whatever consciousness is at the moment of death, that type of body will get next. But the question is, what determines the what kind of consciousness we will have at the moment of death? So what is that determines? Can we influence that? Yes, we can influence that. Animals cannot influence. They cannot choose, because they cannot choose, oh, I will do good, I will do bad. There is no morality in animal world, because the animals act according to their natural push, instinct. But humans, since we have information about history of human, that humans exist, there was the question of what is moral, what is not. So there's always this question is there, what is good, what is bad, what is good activity, what should be done, what should not be done. And this is generally discussed in the context of what goal I want to achieve in life. So if I want to become a very rich person, then what is good, what is bad would be something different. As if I wish to achieve something else than being like, for example, I wish to be advanced in spiritual life. What is good, what is bad is very much different. If my goal of life is to have 10 million euros on my bank account by the time I'm 60, then what is good, what is favorable, what is not favorable will be much different, as if I say that by the time I'll be 60, I will be chanting Shudanam, very pure holy name. So the activities and what will be performed, decisions that will be made, will be in accordance to the goal of life that we have decided to have. But there is another thing. There is also another life and another life and another life. In case we do not develop spiritual body, then we'll have to be born again. And what kind of body we get next determines in what we think at the moment of death. There's now we come to the point where life is some kind of preparation for the time of death. This is Vedic version. We have to prepare. One devotee said, I forgot the exact circumstance, the exact everything that was happening at the same moment. But he said, I want to fix on Krishna. I don't want to waste time, because I don't want to risk to remember sense gratification the moment of death. This would mean that I will have to be born and then I'll have to fulfill my desires. So throughout life, I'll be fixed on Krishna consciousness. So this is kind of a resolve for life. I try to focus on Krishna throughout life. Not say, oh, I'll focus on Krishna later. But throughout life, every moment, try to connect with Krishna one way or the other. In this way, I will prepare for the last moment. Because there is a statement there, Prabhupada mentions that at the moment, the whole life, you see the entire life flashing in front of your eyes. You see from birth to death. And if there was Krishna throughout life, then you will see Krishna. If there was gross sense gratification, then you'll see. If there was a sinful life, then you will see that. And according to that, you go to Yamaraj and he'll punish you. So this is the point here, preparation for the last moment. There's related points are there also. There's one nice story I thought I might tell this story from 10th canto, first chapter of the 10th canto, when Devaki gets married and there is a chariot and there's Kamsa driving Devaki and Vasudeva to Vasudeva's home. And one point there is voice from the sky, "O Kamsa, you fool, Devaki's eighth child will kill you." He imagined like thunder, everything is like, and Kamsa hears that. Oh no, Devaki. And then he immediately sees, you know, like looks at Devaki, his sister, and he sees like death, you know, her head instead of her head is like a skull there. It's like, you know, with two bones. He sees his own death in Devaki. And then he takes, and then what happens is Vasudev, he interferes and he says, he preaches to Kamsa. And what is he telling him? He's telling him, "You are not the body, you are the soul." When the, basically, what he's telling him is, "You are the soul, and when you die, not everything is finished. So whatever sinful activities you perform in this life, they're not finished with death. They continue in the next life. Because you are so the soul, you're not the body." Well, we know Kamsa eventually became more peaceful and he said, "Okay, Devaki is nothing wrong with Devaki, I'll just wait for the eighth child of the Devaki. That is the problem, not Devaki. Not seven children before." So he said, "Okay." And then he let them go and he said, "I'll wait for..." Because Vasudeva promised him, "Okay, I'll give you the eighth child that will be born." He said, "Okay." That was basically not... But Vasudeva didn't do much with philosophical understanding, because when someone is bewildered, when someone lost completely the common sense, he just saw very impulsively he reacted, Kamsa, that moment. And he was very kind of influenced by anger. He was angry and was afraid. He was very afraid to lose his life. So he couldn't understand the philosophical instructions. Just like people in material world, sometimes you tell them about Krishna in a nice way. And they say, no, your scriptures, they were written just by some smart people to control the population, to keep other people under control. And I don't want to hear anything more about this. They're very much covered. Therefore, it is said that it's great fortune on the side of those who develop the desire to associate with devotees. Because if someone accepts devotees, then will accept what devotees say. Devotees talk about Krishna. Devotees exemplify good behavior of advanced devotee. Yes, so that was the message that Vasudeva wanted to give to Kamsa in order to change his mind, because to kill an innocent woman, that would be very sinful, and Kamsa knew that because he was educated. But he purposefully went against the what his knowledge was all about. He didn't take it seriously. We see often in Vedic literature there are examples of people who understood the knowledge of the Vedas and they ignored it as unimportant. Different sections of the Vedas, which are actually important and should be taken very seriously, they are not taken by such personalities. They say, oh, this is not important for me. This is secondary. But when the opportunity comes, they use them for their own benefit. Like in the case of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyaksha, he was killed by Krishna in the form of Varaha. And naturally, the mother and the aunt and other ladies and everyone were very, family members of Hiranyaksha were very sad about that. And Hiranyakashipu didn't want to hear all those crying, and then he gave a very nice story. He was telling, he told them, look, we're not this body. We are spirit soul, we are eternal. We shouldn't be so serious. And then he gave a very nice story about Yagyaraj or something. His name was. He was the king of a big opulent city. And one day, an enemy attacked the kingdom, and Raja went and fought. And unfortunately, he died on the battlefield, protecting his city. And his wife and his family members, they came. And they were very, very sad. They were crying very loudly. And they see no purpose in their own lives. They said, oh, our lives has ended now that we see our husband dead. And our uncle and our son. And they were crying very loudly. And then Yamaraj, he came. Hiranyakashipu tells all this beautiful story. And then Yamaraj came, and he was a boy, in a form of a boy. Yamaraj has all mystical powers, and he can change his form. And he came and he told them, do not be so sad, you are not this body. Definitely, Yagyaraj, he attained good destination in his life, because he fought according to Dharma. So there is no reason to be so sad about his death. And besides, while you are so captivated by lamenting about something that is not worth of lamenting, your own death is breathing behind your neck. So closer you go, the time is bringing death closer to you. So this is a beautiful story, from our perspective, very important story to understand that, first of all, we are not the body, and if one lives ethical life, then there's nothing to worry about in next life. And the ladies were very selfish. They thought, oh, this is the end. And then Yamaraj comes and he says, no, your own death is something that should be considered. And we should be give some consideration that we turn our lives this direction, that we prepare for the last moment. So I mentioned there is also in Bhagavad Gita some mention about this. Preparation for death is an important thing. So there's one nice verse which shows this same point, that whatever we perform, whatever we do during life, that will create our next life. There's another important point in connection to the mind. What is actually the medium which will take us to the next life, which will drag us, pull us, whether down to hell or up to heavenly planets? It is mind. Because thinking is the function of the mind. So in the mind, the impressions are accumulated. Whatever is happening, everything is recorded in the mind. Of course, we forget these things. There are moments that some things, all the details are kept in the mind. So whatever impressions we get throughout life, then the mind will take us to another life. For example, if one's consciousness, Prabhupada also mentions the word, he says the word consciousness. If one develops Krishna consciousness, one goes back home, back to Godhead. If one develops, this is related to the mind. And also consciousness is more broad than just the mind, but on some other places in Bhagavatam we see that the mind is that which is guiding us, which is dragging the soul around. Just kind of metaphysical point, because how can material mind influence spiritual soul? But that how it is, that is metaphysics. Something that doesn't make sense. Spiritual, another dimension, soul that gives life to material. It gives motion and energy to material. Like a driver in the car. No matter how much fuel and what type of the best fuel that is specifically fits to that car you put into the car will not drive as long as there is a driver who knows how to drive. The same way, it doesn't matter what kind of food, you can feed the dead dog and that dog will not, walk. If it's dead, it's dead. But if the soul is inside, then there's life. So this is the point here, that although soul is spiritual, material mind influences the soul. Although the soul gives the energy to the mind to exist in the first place. So this is whole thing. Kind of, these are technicalities. These are technicalities which are discussed in 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, because in 11th canto, the same themes that come up in Bhagavad Gita come up in 11th canto in Uddhava Gita, but in much more detail, more specific. Yeah, it's more space is dedicated to discussing the same themes that are in Bhagavad Gita. So the mind. That's why it's important what we think of and what is our agenda during life. What we do this moment, but because all this will be saved. Every moment there's a save button, automatically saved, everything. You don't even need to press the button. Everything is saved. Whatever is happening, whatever we perceive, whatever is perceived through the senses, through the mind, is saved. And that will flash at the moment of death. And if there was Krishna, then no problem. We go to Krishna. So now, finally, the reference from Bhagavad Gita, from the ninth chapter, the most confidential knowledge, text 25. Yanti deva vrata devan, pitrin yanti pitri vrataha, bhutani yanti bhuteja, yanti madhya jinopi maam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship me will live with me. So here, this same point we are discussing in relation to worship. Worship basically means dedicate. You're dedicated. Your life is centered around the particular activity, particular deity. Agnidra's life was focused on Purvachiti. She was a heavenly damsel. And that's why when he left his body, he joined her. So if our life is focused on Krishna, then there will be, we will not get material body, we will develop spiritual body. So spiritual body will be realized or developed during life, and then when we have spiritual body there realized, then there is no more return to the material world. It's return to spiritual world. When I read this purport of this verse, 9:25, I thought that I might also want to read it here, because it's kind of interesting. Prabhupada elaborates a little bit on this point of preparation of time of death and so on. So purport. If one has any desire to go to the moon, the sun, or any other planet, one can attain the desired destination by following specific Vedic principles recommended for that purpose, such as the process technically known as Darsha Purnamas. Darsha Purnamas, technically. So what is the Vedic principle for us? What Vedic principles do we accept? Chanting of Hare Krishna. What if you say in general terms, this? Let's say that chanting of Hare Krishna is only one of the principles within that. Yes. The term is devotional service, bhakti. Also Vedanta. It's through our disciplic succession, we accept bhakti, we accept Vedanta, we accept rasa, we accept Krishna prem. So Vedanta means philosophy, spiritual philosophy. Bhakti means activity in Krishna consciousness. Rasa means feeling, heart. And Krishna prema is the goal, love of God. So these are things that come all together. It's not just devotional service. Usually when we say devotional service, we mean all this. Because for us also studying philosophy is devotional service. Or is part of the goal. Krishna prema, devotional service brings us to that goal. So Vedic injunctions that we follow, followers of Prabhupada, are based on Vedanta, devotional service, and Krishna prema. Lord Chaitanya was also Vedantist, not just sentimentalist. Because bhakti meant sentiment, like rasa. Rasa means feeling, devotional feeling. That is rasa. Some poetry is very nice because it's full of rasa, full of you can observe the devotional mood of the devotee. He's expressing his own feeling towards the Lord. Advanced devotees, they do that. That's rasa. So that's all part of it. That these four things are connected. Yeah. So this is the things we do, we follow, we accept. We don't accept karma. But Prabhupada continues, these are vividly described in the fruitive activities portion of the Vedas, which recommends a specific worship of demigods situated on different heavenly planets. So Prabhupada mentions that you can follow also some other set of rules, which are karmakanda rules. The karmakanda is term for the fruitive activities portion of the Vedas here. Prabhupada he translates into English. This means karmakanda. Who in fourth canto was following karmakanda system very, very, very intensely? very, very nicely. Prachinabarishat. Exactly. That was the whole point of Puranjana's story. Narada Muni came and he said, I'll convert you now. You should not perform this set of Vedic injunctions, because animals you kill in the yagya, although you get the temporary benefit for it, your kingdom is protected, materially happy, but that's not ultimate. If you would become devotee, then whole Puranjana's story. The whole Puranjana's story is describing the what is lacking in Karmakanda system. But if you do follow Vedic injunction, then you get the result which is also there prescribed. Similarly, one can attain the Pitta planets by performing a specific yagya. So the same as Agnidra, he went to the Pitta Loka. No, he didn't went to Pitta Loka. He went to Pitri Loka, sorry. there's one syllable difference here. Pitri Loka is another planet. Pitta Loka is another planet. There's two different planets here discussed. I thought, because it sounds similar. Pitri, Pitta. Sounds a little bit similar, right? So yeah, so there's difference. But the same principle is here. How did Agnidra come to Pitri Loka, and how generally Vedic system advises to go to whichever planet you choose, because there is generally there's like perhaps many lost, but generally you can get injunctions from the Vedic scriptures to reach any planet within the universe. And if you don't follow any injunctions, you also reach different planets. But those planets are very dark. So better to follow some set of Vedic injunctions in order to avoid falling down. Not just falling down in this life, stopping, falling into some other planet. Similarly, one can go to many ghostly planets and become Ayaksha Rakshasa. Raksha or Pishacha. Pishacha worship is called black arts or black magic. There are many men who practice this black art and they think that it is spiritualism, but such activities are completely materialistic. Similarly, a pure devotee who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead only achieves the planets of Vaikuntha and Krishna Loka without a doubt. There's one interesting word here, only. Similar pure devotee who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead only achieves the planets of Vaikuntha. So, I would like to interpret this in two different ways, because the person who only worships Supreme Personality of Godhead, that kind of person can go to Krishna. And the person who is worshipping Supreme Personality of Godhead, such a person, only such a person can go back home, back to Godhead. So from two different sides, you see. This means that no one else than a devotee who only worships Krishna, nothing else, can go back home, back to Godhead. Isn't that nice? We are here a little bit exclusive. Try to be exclusive. We say only devotee can go. Of course only devotee can go. So that makes complete sense. Why would Krishna accept to his home someone who is not his friend or relative or servant or lover, or who is not completely dedicated to Krishna? Krishna, you know, it makes sense. Why would he accept people like that and on his own planet, his own home, to live with them forever? And it's quite a thing, you know. You want to live with someone forever. You know, you will live with this person forever. Oh, wait, who is this person? Will I accept it or not? Of course, if that person has all good qualities, is very favorable towards me, is a friend, and so on, then I will accept. Okay, I live with this person eternally. This person is completely fits into my life. But if some person who is thinking of only thinking of sense, one's own pleasure, and is committing sinful activities, not even karma, as we mentioned. Karma kanda means you perform karma according to the Vedic injunction, and you don't fall to hell. But vikarma is sinful activity. You don't follow any regulations, or if you know, even if you know them, then you disregard them. Or you worship ghosts, as they were here mentioned, black arts, and you go to the demoniac planets. Yeah, so Krishna accepts only his devotees. And for Krishna, for the difference of all other of his incarnation, he has specifically qualified devotees. Prema Madhurya is one of the specific things that only Krishna with the flute and peacock feather standing three times bind form. Prema Madhurya, was it four or six? There's Prema Madhurya, there's Leela Madhurya. His pastimes, Prema Madhurya means devotees who have the most intense prema. Not even his incarnations, such as Vishnu or Nrisimhadeva or Rama even, or even Krishna in Dvaraka. No one else than Vrindavan Krishna has so loving devotees, so much love. It's most superior. That's why Krishna in Vrindavan and not in Dvaraka is the Ishtadev of our Sampradaya. Because his devotees, we want the most intense, most highest love that can have anyone can have. And that is Krishna. Lilama, the most beautiful pastimes, sweetest pastimes of all. And then what is that? What else is there? Forgot all of them. There is beauty. Also, Lalita, is it Lalita? Something connected with his beauty. No one is more beautiful than Krishna, not even his incarnations, but to speak of other expansions. Yeah. So if you want to attain this high goal, then first we have to connect with Krishna. This is Madan Mohan principle, connect with Krishna. Transcendental life. And then the second is Govinda principle, the relationship, action. First establish the relationship, then act according to the relationship. To establish the relationship, you have to connect with someone, right? If you don't connect first, then how will you develop relationship? So first consideration is a lot of instruction in scripture about connection to Krishna. When we perform devotional service such as chanting, then we connect with Krishna more and more. We step towards Krishna. And then relationship. After one is fully transcendental, sees everything in connection to Krishna, such a devotee then starts to develop a deep relationship with Krishna. And then when this relationship is perfectly manifest, that is Krishna Prem, that is Prayojana or Gopinath principle. Prayojana or the goal, that is our ultimate goal. Yes. So this is what we aspire. Love of Godhead is the goal of our lives, to connect with Krishna, to develop relationship. First to connect. What fits in there is first to connect with Krishna. Read scripture and hear from devotees who are connected, who are very inspired in Krishna consciousness. This will connect us with Krishna. Why we get initiation and connection with the parampara? Because we want to be connected with Krishna. Through devotees we connect. Devotees will inspire us, guide us, give us knowledge. And Krishna himself also, as Paramatma, Chaitya Guru. Chaitya Guru is also important, inspires us from within. Chaitya Guru knows who is sincere, who performs activities of devotional service nicely and inspires to get more of Krishna. There's always need for more of Krishna. There's never enough of Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said that there's enough of everything but Krishna consciousness. It is very easy to understand through this important verse that if by simply worshipping the demigods one can achieve the heavenly planets, or by worshipping of the Pitas achieve the Pita planets, or by practicing the black arts achieve the ghostly planets, why can the pure devotee not achieve the planet of Krishna or Vishnu? Very simple logic. And Prabhupada says that this logic is very important to understand. Very important theme. Very important topic. Unfortunately, Prabhupada says, many people have no information of these sublime planets where Krishna and Vishnu live. And because they do not know of them, they fall down. If the impersonalists fall down from the Brahma Jyotir, the Krishna consciousness movement is therefore distributing sublime information to the entire human society to the effect that by simply chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become perfect in this life and go back home, back to Godhead. If we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then we create, what do we create for our future? I mentioned Kamsa. He would kill Devaki and he would create his own future, terrible future, because he would commit such a sinful activity. Even if he would know the philosophy, he would disobey. He would know, okay, I'll be born again, but his present situation was, he was bewildered. So what kind of future he would create for himself? A very dark future. And many people living on earth nowadays, we see that they're creating a very dark future for themselves. Very dark next life. But what about devotees? Even if at the present moment, things are not as we would expect them to be. Because in material world, things are never as we would expect them to be. So that's kind of normal to feel like that. Oh, things are doesn't make any sense. I planned this and it didn't happen. I planned that. It was meant for Krishna and it didn't happen. So, but the devotees, because they engage in devotional service, then the devotees, we are creating very nice future for ourselves. And we help others to create nice future. Because if you chant now, then in the future you will be. Because the principle is that you make one step, Krishna makes 10 steps. And the point is you never go back. That step that you have made, that's eternal step. It's never forgotten. Perhaps there is some partial forgetfulness, but Krishna will always give another chance to make another eternal step towards Krishna. Like that. So these are a few important principles related to this point of death and how to live life. It is very important to be responsible in life, to accept what is favorable to connect with Krishna and reject what is not favorable to connect with Krishna, to be humble, patient, to always be fully surrendered to Krishna, to accept Krishna as the maintainer and protector, to always pray to him for protection and be so completely surrendered. I mentioned that. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. act according to Krishna's will, Krishna's desire. Krishna has a plan for everyone. Krishna has a mercy. Krishna is merciful to everyone. It is just the question, who is taking the mercy and who is not taking the mercy. Okay, any comments, questions? Lord Chaitanya was called sentimentalist because Mayavadi sannyasis were always absorbed in studies of Vedanta, of spiritual philosophy, and Lord Chaitanya was saying chant Hare Krishna. So they said, this person has no idea about the philosophy, that therefore he's very weak. He's sentimentalist. He's just crying and just rasa. That's what's important to him. The love of Godhead. No philosophical, but that's secondary. Sannyasi is supposed to have philosophical understanding of Vedanta. So, therefore they said, because he has no philosophical understanding, how can he have how can he be properly situated? That was their argument. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proved to them that his devotional sentiments and his activities of devotional service, such as chanting and dancing for Krishna, they have foundation in Vedanta system. So he proved to them, we are not sentimentalist. We have a very, very strong philosophical system of Vedanta. We can understand Vedanta book. We can understand Srimad Bhagavatam according to Vedanta system, and we have complete philosophy, which is the foundation of everything, and is our theology, philosophy. So he proved to them he is not sentimental. So sometimes also Sri Vaishnavas, there is academics, they say they are devotional movement, and they're devotional, which would mean they have sentimental, they are like emotional. Devotion for them would be something emotional. But Sri Vaishnavas, they have also other side. They also have a philosophical side of their within their line. Ramanujacharya, he was commentator. He commented, gave comments on all these important philosophical scriptures. He wasn't so much promoting beautiful poetry. So this is both is there. Beautiful poetry and very scholarly explanations of the scriptures. Both are there. Thank you very much. Oh, so many more questions. Well, I guess we can try to answer another one too. Yeah.
Can you explain the difference between the word jati and vijati?
Okay, there's three different karmis. One karmi is a nishkarmi. Means that whatever activities the person performs, they have no karmic result. Devotees, they perform nishkama. They're nishkarmis. Because they won't get any karma for chanting, you don't get any karma. You get spiritual benefit, which is different. Not even good, not even bad. It's beyond that. Spiritual karma. Then his karma means pious activities, which are in the realm of the three modes of material nature, which are within this world. So these pious activities are Vedic yagyas, or following the principles of Dharma Shastra, and so on. This is karma. Has generally nothing to do with, strictly has nothing to do with spiritual activity. Although by devotees they connect these things with Krishna, so it's okay. It's also a karma. But non-devotees, they can, like Prachina Barhishat, he didn't think of Krishna while he was performing his yagya. He was thinking of wealth and prosperity and material happiness. So this is karma. And vikarma means sinful activity, which is illicit sex, meat eating, and things like that. So these are three levels of activities, which each of them, they bring different result. In next life, you obtain different type of body. Yeah. I'll stop now. You had something? Yes. 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 Oh, this is very, very wide topic. According to Srila Prabhupada, love of Godhead and Siddha. Love of Godhead means everything. Realization of Siddha, Deha, and your eternal body. Siddha, Swarup Siddhi, the mystic power that comes with realization of your eternal form. All these things are in a dormant state. They exist already within. But one has to reach them through practice, so you become realized of them. This is, it's very broad. In short, this is, they're already there. There's of course a lot of esoterical discussion, because then, you know, how can it be there? But I'm conditioned. You know, how is it possible that my spiritual form is already inside of my heart, but I'm unconditioned, so how does this go together? So this is where the esoteric part starts, because the time in spiritual world is different than here. For us, it's like millions of years, and in spiritual world is a moment. But because we're conditioned, we feel as if we identify with the body, so therefore the we perceive what's happening in this world. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai. Om Tat Sat.